also to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 19. Now, Revelation chapter 4, if you would, let's start in verse 4. Revelation chapter 4, if I ever get back there, and verse 4. And round about the throne were 4 and 20 seats, and upon the seats I saw 4 and 20 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. You need to look at Ezekiel chapter 10 and all back in there if you want to know what all that is. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts gave glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And the 4 and 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were and are and were created. Now, if you look over in Revelation chapter 19 for a moment, and Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness doth he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty to preach, power to preach. And I pray, Lord God, the Holy Spirit might undertake and move in our midst, speak to hearts, enlighten minds. Help us to see clearly. Help us to see from a spiritual perspective. I pray that you do a work in our midst this morning. We will be thankful and grateful and give thee honor and praise for thy worthy. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now, I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled, A Pile of Crowns. Just scrap metal cast into a particular shape, put on somebody's head to denote their importance, that they're royalty. The crown is a symbol of power and authority and all those kind of things. Yet, in Revelation chapter 4, somebody takes off their crown and casts it at the feet of another. And the one they cast it at, Revelation 19, is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And every crown and every symbol of power and authority in the universe will someday be subject to him that sits on the white horse. Amen. And so they cast the crowns in a pile before him and before his throne. I was thinking about that, and I want to bring you a little message on that thought. Now, if you're a Bible student at all, you know and understand, and if you've read Dr. Ruckman at all, you know he teaches and that there are 5 crowns that a Christian can win. Sometimes people think that all there is to the Christian life is just getting saved and going home to glory. And you need to read your Bible a little more carefully and a little more thoroughly. There's a great deal more to it than that. There's a number of rewards to be won or lost. And there are crowns that you can win. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, there's an incorruptible crown. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, there's the crown of righteousness. And in James chapter 1 and verse 12, there's the crown of life. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, there's the crown of glory. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19, there is the crown of rejoicing. Of course, that's called the soul winner's crown, because that crown is received for those you bring to Christ. Amen. And that's a great crown to win. But those are available to all of God's people. Now, it's something you earn because of your service and things that you do. And we could spend 5 messages on that, telling you how you win each one. And I think we've probably done that somewhere in the past. But I don't want to talk about that this morning. I want to look at those crowns. And let's say you have them. You've got 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, all of them. What are you going to do with them? Now, in Revelation chapter 4, there are 24 elders there, and they take their crowns that are on their heads from verse 4 and cast them at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, people try to identify who those 24 elders are, and that's somewhat tricky. It's there's about 8 or 9 references in the Bible to those 24 elders, and it's pretty tough to say dogmatically. But it's a real good shot that they are representative of the saints of the church age. Now, I wouldn't swear to that. If you have a different position, you're welcome to it. But that's what I think. Amen. I think that's probably going to be about as close as you can come. They're typical. They're representative of the body of Christ. And those representative persons take the crowns they have, the ones that they've been given, and they cast them at the feet of the King of Kings. I got to thinking about that. My mind's not always coherent, but sometimes I do think. And I thought, who is it that cast these crowns? They earned them. They're theirs. They have a right to them. Why do they universally and without exception take those crowns and throw them at the feet of another? Who are they? Why do they cast those crowns? Who are these people? And why are they doing what they do? Now, we just celebrated Thanksgiving, and this is my Thanksgiving message. I'm going to go around the block to get there. We could have taken a more direct route, but it wouldn't have been near as exciting. While we're talking about this pile of crowns, the story is about thankfulness. Who is it that took the crown from their own head after having labored to win it? And why would they take it and cast it at the feet of another? I want to try and answer that for you this morning. If you'll give me just a few minutes of your time, and then we'll get on down to the Chinese restaurant and eat some of that MSG. Amen. Number one, these people come one by one, and they stop before the throne, remove the crown from their head, and cast it at the feet of another. Now, why do they do that? They come one by one. Each one comes with his own story. Each one comes with his own life. No two are going to be the same. No two are going to be anywhere near alike. My story and my life is not your story, and it's not your life. But because it's not mine doesn't mean you don't have one. Doesn't mean that yours is not important, and that it's not unique, and that it's not special. Every story, which means every life, is special. Every story and every life is unique. We may have some common similarities, but there will be a great number of differences in our experience. The things that have happened to me, some will be common, but there are things that happened to me that's never happened to you. There are things that God has done for you that He's never done or never will do for me. And so these people come as individuals. The commonality is they are all thankful to him that sat on the throne and are willing to humble themselves and throw their crown, their power, their authority at the feet of Jesus Christ. Let me give you some examples. There's an old gray-headed man. He's bent and bowed. And he steps before the throne, withered hands, bent back, steeped with age. His face is thin and pallow, but there's still a sparkle in his eye. There's still life in his eye. And he reaches up to his bald, old, graying head and removes the crown. And tears run down his face as he stands in front of the throne and he bows his head and gently tosses his crown at the feet of the one who sits on the throne. So why did he do that? This old man's heart is swelled to bursting. He is thrilled beyond words. Joy fills his heart. He is thankful to him that sits on the throne, that as a little boy, he got saved by God's grace in an old tent meeting and walked down the sawdust trail. And as a little child, he gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. And for the next 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, he walked hand in hand with the Master. He walked hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ. And year in and year out, he saw the goodness and the grace of God. And he got saved as a little child. And he's thankful unto God when he looks around about him and he sees all that's going on. In all those 60 or 70 years, he's thankful unto God that he got saved as a little boy. And he's thankful for all the hurt that he missed because of God's grace. I don't know about you, but when young folks get saved, it just thrills me to death. And when they get saved and learn to live for God and love the Lord Jesus Christ, it ought to be a shouting time in our lives. Say, why? Because of all the things that they could do that would hurt them and defile their body and defile their conscience and make them hard and mean inside. The things that could put blinders on their eyes and reveal the goodness of, or hide the goodness of God from them. When they get saved at a young age and live for God, there's all that hurt they miss, all that sin they miss, all that shame that they miss. What a wonderful thing. And so here's this old man. His life has been spent in service to Jesus Christ. He's never been the wayward son. He's never been the prodigal. And his heart rejoices at God's goodness. And he takes that crown and he casts it at the feet of the one who kept him. Secondly, there's a little story here about an elderly mother weeping with thanksgiving. What's she weeping about? The little lady comes and she stands before the throne of the Almighty. And she takes the crown from her head and the tears come down her gray face and her stooped little body. And she holds the crown in her hand with her head down in a humble spirit and the tears run down her cheeks. Thankfulness fills her heart. You say, what is this lady so thankful for? In her mind and in her story, she sees a wayward child, a boy or a girl who has gone away from God and gotten into sin and just lived like the devil and brought shame and reproach on the family and disgraced mom and dad and done terrible and awful things. And old mama was on her knees day and night, year in and year out, and year in and year out, and prayed for God to reach down and touch that little boy's heart, touch that little girl's heart, and call them from a life of sin, and save them, and fill them with God's Spirit. Year after year went by. She prayed and she prayed, and one day she got that phone call. Mom, you don't have to worry about me anymore. I got saved last night. Boy, that old mama sits there and joy fills her soul. She wants to lift her hand and her heart and the glory of God fills the place and the tears run down her face because God has been good and God has been faithful. And that little boy, that little girl that they prayed for so long, finally come to God. She stands there and she casts her crown she thinks about God's goodness and bringing that wayward child home. That's something to be thankful for. Amen. That'd make it be easy to throw that crown at his feet, would it not? Here's an elderly mother. I just did that one. Here's a mom and a dad with a child that was taken early. Standing there side by side, and they reach up to take their crowns and cast them at the feet of the Savior. So, I don't know if I could do that. If I had that little bundle of life, if I had that little gift that only God could give, and I held it in my arms, I carried it in my womb, I saw its beautiful little face, I looked into its eyes, I saw that first dimpled smile, I heard that first little gurgling sound that we pretended was a real word, and God took that, something happened, and it died, and God took that joy from it. I don't know. I just don't know if I could stand before the throne and be thankful unto God. Sure you can. You know what? I know a lady who had a little 8-year-old daughter, and that little girl was the joy of her life. Mom started to cross the street one afternoon, and the little girl pulled loose, you know how children are, and ran out in front of Mom and ran right out in front of a car and got run over and killed. Oh, that family had a terrible time. I mean, a terrible time. That's an awful thing. It was not easy. But after a while, Mom and Dad came to terms with it. And they weren't angry at God anymore. Took that little girl before she reached the age of accountability. They know where that little girl's at. I know folks that have lost children, and you say, oh, what a terrible thing. Yes, it is a terrible thing from our perspective. It's not always so terrible from God's. God may know something down the road and more than they could have dealt with, more than they could handle. And in grace and mercy, God took them before they had to go through all of that. Amen. I'll tell you something else. Sometimes Mom and Daddy get so in love with children that they love the children more than they love God. And they're so busy working and doing for the children, they don't have time to go to church, and they don't have time to serve the Lord. And so God takes that little youngin' and takes it on home to glory. And the Bible said, set your affection on things above. And so God took something on home to glory that you love, and guess where your heart's at? See? Now your heart's up in glory, and you'll spend the rest of their lives living and serving Jesus Christ. You say, but how do they get through that? Because he who sits on the throne, he who wears many crowns, gives grace and comfort. The Bible said that God is a very present help in the time of need. Amen? A very present help in the time of need. The Bible said that he is the God of all comfort and the God of all peace and the God of all grace. And when would you ever need God's grace and comfort more than at a time like that? Lose that precious little baby, that little life that you cherish so much. You'd be devastated and shattered. Listen, nothing could ever demonstrate God's ability to sustain and give grace to live and grace to take and grace to stand like a great tragedy. You see, sometimes folks never understand the grace of God or the comfort of the Holy Spirit because they don't go through anything that requires them to have to stand. They don't go through anything where God is required to demonstrate his grace. So here's this couple, heartbroken, taking that crown from their head and with thankfulness throwing it at his feet. It's a manifestation of the grace and comfort of Almighty God. Here's a broken woman who suffered the loss of all things. Thanking him for strength. In my years, I've talked to a great number of people, and it seems like life has dealt all of us a blow or two along the way. I've never talked to anybody that's done anything or lived any that hasn't had some mistakes they made. and some tragedies that came their way. Nobody gets through this life scot-free. Nobody. Nobody's going to get home without their fair share of trouble and heartache and hard times. But some people seem, it just seems they get more than their share. Now, I don't know how God measures that out, and I don't know how he determines who takes what. Maybe he knows what some of us can stand, and maybe he knows some of us are as gutless and as sorry as I am, and he's just never put very much on me. But I've seen people, boy, it just seems like every time you turn around, they're taking another one. Here's this lady, she's lost everything. She lost a husband, and she lost her children, which meant she never had grandchildren. Remember the story of Ruth over there? And all? She loses everything. How do you find the strength to reach up and take the crown from your head and cast it at the feet of the Savior when he's stripped you of everything? Listen, you know what that lady learned in life? She learned that in every tragedy and in every circumstance, no matter how bad and no matter how often and no matter how she seemed to be beat down and nothing went her way, she found out that God was able and God was sufficient and God's grace was there and that it was real. She knows something about God and his mercy and his grace that some of us will never ever learn. We never ever went through anything. You know, we sing that little song about you'll never know that if you never have any trouble, you'll never know, if you never have any problems, you'll never know that God can solve them. Well, there's a lot of truth in that. And this little old lady lost it all. But God gave her the strength and the grace to stand. You know what he told Paul? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. You know, our problem is we don't want to find out. We only want the good from God. We only want the blessings and the good times and the prosperity. We don't want God to deal with us so that he strengthens us and molds us and shapes us and changes us from the selfish creature that we are and molds us into the image of Jesus Christ. We don't want that. We just want the blessings of God without the lessons of God. You see, the more lessons God teaches you, the more you go through, the more you endure, the more you see him be able, the more you sense his comfort, the more you become sensitive to his presence, the more you love God. Ever notice it seems like sometimes the people that had it the worst and had it the roughest and been deprived of the most are seem to be the ones who love him the most? That's because they've been through some stuff and they found out that God is real. And that his grace is sufficient, and that it's worth everything to be close to God. Here's a small orphan child taking the crown from his little head to throw it at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. So why would this orphan do that? Because he's thankful that he was not forgotten. Nobody wanted him. Mom and daddy left him on the doorstep of the orphanage. Mom and daddy died in a car crash. Or he was illegitimate and never knew who daddy was, and mama sold him for crack. Nobody to nobody. The world doesn't care whether he lives or dies. The world doesn't know that he is alive. He's going to be a victim of the system and go from orphanage to orphanage and foster home to foster home and be kicked about and neglected and probably grow up unloved and uncared for. What a terrible thing to do to a little child. I wonder what it does to their little minds to know that nobody loves me and nobody cares whether I live or die. We all want to be wanted. We all want to be loved. And we pick up on it. And children are quicker to pick up on things than most of us hardheads. And they understand when you love them. They understand when you care. And here this little fella is, and nobody loves him. And nobody cares. He's a nuisance. He's a bother. He's a number. He's a duty. He's a responsibility. But he's not loved. And one day, the love of God enters his heart. One day somebody told him about Jesus. Maybe it was in vacation Bible school or a track he picked up on the street. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus Christ real. And that little boy finds somebody to love him and somebody to care about him. And that's the most wonderful thing in the world, to finally feel loved. To know that somebody cares, that I'm here. They care when I hurt. They care about me and they love me. And this little fella, he was an orphan to the world and despised and rejected by the world. But Jesus had time for him, and Jesus loved him, and Jesus took him in, and Jesus made him to know that he was loved, and that he was important, that he was valuable. And that little boy takes his crown from his head and throws it at the feet of the Savior. Thankful to be loved. Thankful that he wasn't forgotten. He was forgotten by the world, but not forgotten by the Savior. You see, every man and every woman, every boy and girl that walks before that throne and throws that crown down has their own story, is thinking their own thought. And what goes on my mind that day may be totally different from yours, but I'll guarantee we will all come with one attitude. We will come with thanksgiving and thankfulness unto Almighty God for that which He's done for us in our lives. There's a wrinkled and wasted old drunk. Never done anything for anybody. Started drinking when he was a kid. Most alcoholics do. Waste all of his time and his money. Throws away all his substance. Loses his wife. Loses his children. Loses his job. He's homeless and on the street. He's just an old drunk. He's a derelict. He is of no value to society. He's no good to mankind. He's a nuisance. He takes up our tax money. We see him on the street and we pretend we don't see him. We don't want to be close to him because he smells. We don't want him in our neighborhood. Most of the time we don't want him in our church. He's just an old drunk. So why is he taking the crown from his head? Because there was a day when somebody gave him a different cup. And he drank from the cup of salvation. And he never had to drink from the beer mug again. Never wanted another bottle of Jack Black. Never wanted another cold beer. You can't entice him with 2020 or Red Dog or none of that stuff. He got a different cup. And it turned his life around. And he got sober and he found some self-worth and some self-value. And he realized that he was somebody to God. And today, he gets to show some honor and respect. And with thankfulness in his heart that somebody, when he was at the bottom of the social ladder, when his life was nothing, he was ruined and in shambles, God loved him and picked him up out of the gutter. Let him drink. Gave him that cold, clear water that makes you a brand new man. So with thanksgiving and thankfulness, this old fella throws his crown at the feet of Jesus Christ. Here's a young woman with no morals. One of the great tragedies of our society in our day is the lack of morals in our young women. There's no virtue in purity anymore. You're an oddball. You're out of step with the times if you're a virgin when you marry, and that you go to your marriage bed pure and clean. Nobody's interested in those kind of things. It's just no big deal anymore. And we have a whole generation of young women that just loose, have no morals. Our nation is filled with young girls that are just whores. Go from boyfriend to boyfriend. Spend their life doing that until they're old and wrinkled and nobody wants them anymore. They're just used and tarnished merchandise. This girl had no morals and no character. Society looked down on her. Decent people disdained her. decent women didn't want to be in the same place with men. Didn't want that kind of woman hanging around in church where my husband's at. I know how self-righteous Christians are. So she was shunned by society. And here she is with a crown in her head, on her head, and she slowly takes it to cast it at the feet of the Savior. She said, why'd she do that? She does that with thanksgiving. She is thankful in her heart. So for what? For the day that Jesus Christ looked down on this wretched, immoral, social outcast and with love and compassion washed her in the crimson flow and made her white as snow. I'm here to tell you, the Bible said that Jesus Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen? And God is out there in the highways and the hedges looking for those who have made a mistake, looking for those who have ruined their lives, looking for those who are not what they're supposed to be. They that be well need not a physician. He's looking for us sick folks, us derelicts, us down and outers. I'm thankful unto God. One of these days I'll stand and throw a crown and tears will flow down my face and I will say, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. You took an old 27-year-old drunk, a cursing, blaspheming, professing atheist, and washed him in the blood of the Lamb and made him a new creature. Glory to God. Watched over me for the next 25, 30, 40 years. God has been good to me. I bet he's been pretty good to you too. Who cast the crowns? The redeemed of the world. Those that are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those who have tasted the goodness of God. Those that have seen His grace in action. Why do they do it? Because they're thankful that God had the time and the love and the patience to pick up an old sinner and make him new. To take an old sinner and love him. To take an old sinner and cleanse him. To take an old sinner and forgive him. I want you to know we serve a good God. I know the God of the Baptists is mean as the devil, but the God of the Bible is a God of love. And I sure am glad. 27 years old, cursing, swearing, blaspheming, wicked as hell itself. Took my finger in the face of God. Turned many a young man away, poked fun, ridiculed. And that same God reached down and loved me in spite of me. Washed me in the blood of the Lamb and made me a new creature. I'll be glad the day comes when I can take whatever crown there is and bow my head, shed my tears, and cast my scrap iron. The Bible said to him that is forgiven much, loveth much. Well, I got a lot of reasons to love God. A lot of reasons. We're all thankful for our salvation. But in our individual stories, in our individual lives, there is so much more to loving for. There is so much more to be thankful. This is the Thanksgiving season, and I ask you this morning, are you thankful? Are you thankful? Jordan, why don't you come this morning? I want you to play Just As I Am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God. I come. I come. Best day of my life was the day I got saved. Never figure out why God took an old derelict. Thank you. love you, and I just want you to know. I want you to know. Problem.